And we decided next 3 weeks, because the year is coming to an end and people are getting really tired. I mean, if you think of it, this year has been one of the most challenging years in recent history. Amen. People are tired. Folks are stressed out, emotionally drained. And so we thought it would be good just to encourage you in these three aspects as the year draws to a close, okay? So last week we had an interesting look at marriage, look at God's blueprint, because there is no other way of doing it. But in this message today, I want to talk to you about parents. I want to speak, not about parents, about parenting. Parenting. And I wrote here, the toughest job on earth. Hey? But let me just show you the little picture I drew. Smiley face. Okay? The toughest job on earth. Yet, scriptures are full of how we are to raise our children in a godly way. Okay? And I just want to say this up front. Wendy and I have not arrived when it comes to parenthood. Oh boy. Oh boy. Can I just say that again? Oh boy. We have still got to learn so much. Our children are the age 27 and 24. They're out of our homes, but this morning you need to know that I'm not just preaching to my family, but I'm preaching to myself and to my wife. Okay? So, just as a way of introduction, I read this research study that showed why people in America, at least, go to church. It's pretty fascinating, really. Number one, they go to church to become better persons, 68% of them. Number two, to introduce faith to their children, 69%. To comfort, 66%. To draw closer to God, 81%. But I want to say this to you, that second one, to introduce faith to your kids is so, so important, isn't it? Enough said. Let's read today's verse. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. It's the Apostle Paul, and he's penned this letter to the church in Ephesus. And he addresses two people groups. He addresses the children and their parents. Okay, so let's see in verse 1 what he has to say to the kiddies, children. He says, children, and now all their ears are pricking up because a letter from the great apostle Paul has been read to the church. Children, and are they all going, Uncle Paul is talking to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. What a wonderful promise, isn't it? Verse 4, parents, can I just see? By a show of hands, who are parents here today? Just holy. Okay. Parents, the Apostle Paul now speaks to you. Parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training of the Lord. Four simple verses, Asel City. But boy, are they packed with power. Boy, are they packed with punch. So I just want to give you a quick overview. Verse 1 to 3 is about obeying and honoring your parents. You see, as a child, you obey your parents. But as an adult, you honor your parents. You're still their child. Amen? You honor your parents. And then verse 4 is all about parenting your kids. And we're gonna unpack it all together today. Okay, hierdie ding is besig om my te... Hierdie matlebe van my gee my moeilikheid hier. There we go, let's see if that holds. Now, just before we pack it in, guys, I realize that the language that Paul uses in verse 1 to 4, it's very foreign to modern culture. To modern society, these words like obey, honor, exasperate, train, instruct. But you guys need to remember today that Paul was writing into a culture at that time where obedience in children was already expected. I mean, in fact, you guys need to know that Paul right there was writing into a brutal culture. It was brutal beyond measure. I mean, a dad in that culture could kill his wife or his child if they brought dishonor to him and his family. Do in that culture. But I want you to notice what Paul does. I want you to notice today what Paul does. He baptizes the whole idea of parenting in the gospel. Did you notice that phrase, in the Lord? You see, he baptizes it in the gospel. So, let's unpack these verses together. A few principles that we learn right away from those four scriptures. One that applies to the whole church. Two that apply to children. And two, the parents. So I hope you're excited for what I'm going to be sharing with you as parents later on, okay? So let's look at this first principle for the whole church. You see, I believe, so do the elders, so do most of the churches on this planet, that a church needs to exist of all generations. Can I hear an amen? A church should exist of all generations. A healthy church needs to consist of families where people of all age groups are getting and growing spiritually. Families where children and people of all ages are being saved and growing spiritually. You see, Paul's addressing families here. He's addressing the family. A healthy church consists of families, not just singles. Not just singles. And I'm not picking on you singles either, okay? He's addressing... You see, when this letter was read to the church, there would have been lighties in the crowd. These little snappers and their ears would have pricked up when they heard the word children. And Paul expects these children to become Christians too. And to apply their relationship with Jesus to different areas of their lives and particularly how they relate to their parents. And so on this point, I just want to say there's space for everyone in this family. Singles too. A quick one aside. I just want to throw this in here. One of the things you'll notice about South City Church, guys, is our commitment to kids and to our teen ministry under the guise of education. Do you know that we have the biggest youth group on the coast? Right there. Hey? We're home to 570 odd children under the guise of education. But we're a Christian school. And Christ is the head. We don't have, we don't have on our timetables RE, religious education, like we did at school. Can you guys remember? Or was I the only one who attended RE and fell asleep? We don't have RE, religious education. Jesus is preached in maths, geography, biology. We are teaching from a Christian point of view in all our subjects. We are bringing the gospel to 570 children. And those children are going to go out into the big wide world and they are going to make a difference. Amen? Our children are our most valuable assets. Our children are our futures. Can I say that again? These little aunties that just gone out to City Kids, they're the future. And I'm saying we spare no cent to invest in their futures. We spare no cent and spoil with these kids. You guys must come and watch a college assembly here. You must come and watch it. The high school kids. It's chaos. It's chaos. The word of God is preached. There's worship. These kids, they're just kids around here. Jumping, screaming, praising God, getting saved. This is a school like no other. No other. Kids are important. Their education, you cannot understate. Christian, can I hear an amen? Boy, oh boy. Then there's two principles here for children quickly, okay? So moms and dads, listen carefully. Paul says, children, obey and honor your parents. Obey and honor your children. The Bible gives these two commandments regarding the children, how they are to treat their parents. Verse 1 says obey, and verse 2 says honor. Obey, honor. You see, obedience of younger children specifically, whereas honor is something adult children give their parents. But these two words, they overlap in meaning. The word obey implies, listen carefully, respect, honor, and to submit to. I just want to put a little side comment in here, and I want to say, obviously, obeying one's parents should not come at the cost of disobeying God. Think, okay? Obeying one's parents should not come at the cost of disobeying God. Acts 5:29 says this, then Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. Got that? Okay. A child may object if that child knows that a parent is leading them into sin. So, it's assumed that younger children obey and honor their parents, while older children, especially adult children, honor them. But listen to this, not of course necessarily obey them. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Then the second thing Paul says to kids, he says, kids, obey and honor your parents because it's good. Obey them and honor them. The word says because it's good. It's God's design for your good, young man, and for the good of your society to obey and to honor your parents. Paul says, he uses these words, this is right. In other words, it's in harmony with the way God has. It's in harmony with the way God has designed us. Okay, that's the kiddies. That's the kiddies. Then there are two principles for parents. And here we are going to get a little bit real and dirty and bloody and blue-eyed and so on. Is that okay? Verse 4 says, parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You see, parents, you're a parent. You shape the life of your child. Can I say that again? Not your child's teacher. Not the Sunday school teacher. You shape the life of your child. You. Okay? And Paul is obviously saying that there are two kind of parents here. He says those that exasperate their kids, who make the life of their children needlessly difficult. And then he says that there are those parents who are a real blessing to their kids. But here's what I put in carefully, moms and dads. Part of this command from Paul is that parents need to listen to these words. Bring up, raise, and lead their children fairly and firmly. Can I repeat those verbs? Raise, bring them up, lead them fairly and firmly. That line, do not exasperate, it's just a reminder how parents can so easily abuse their authority and treat their children extremely harshly. And you know what happens when a child is treated unfairly and harshly? He becomes exasperated. And deep down here somewhere, listen to me carefully, a resentment starts building up. A resentment which is going to manifest in various different. So Paul says, don't exasperate your lighties. I wonder if I should tell you the story of I exasperated my son the once. He went off to university studying to be this big lawyer boy, and they weren't allowed to come home for the first 3 months, and yes, we missed him hugely. I missed him big. And so he's coming down for the first time, and we had prepared this meal because my son, lasagna and all the lekker stuff, and you know we were going to spoil him. You know what he did? He walked in. How's it, Mom? How's it, Dad? Big hugs. Threw his bag down in his room and said, I'm going out with my chummies. And my heart, I cannot tell you how I was looking forward to spending time with my son. Needless to say, the old me showed himself. I was so angry that he would rather not spend time with, he would rather go jolling with his chummies than spend time with his mom and dad. And to spare you a long story, but to be vulnerable, I grabbed him. I physically grabbed him by his shirt. And you know what he did? He grabbed me back. He Marion, he grabbed me back and I almost died. I almost had a heart attack that my son would grab me back. Mama, he said, Dad, leave me alone. And that was like, okay, this boy is not a boy anymore. He's an adult. I need to change tactics here. But where was I? Huh? Yeah. Just to add, so don't treat them harshly or unfairly. You're just going to exasperate them, and they're going to resent you, okay? I just want to add, we've had many wins with our son. Many wins. And, because of fair treatment. I said to, I think it was Robbie and the guys, my son was going to be the new Springbok number 9 when he turned 20. I was going to make sure of that. He was going to be a Springbok rugby player. And he was going to open the batting for the Proteas. That was my ambition for him before I got saved. You can ask Wendy how many hours I put into that boy as a pick. Unsaved, eh? That picky. Dress him up in his pads, brand new bat. And I'll never forget, you were in Athol Heights' cricket nets. And I said, JD, boy, his dad's going to pitch the ball up. And he's this high. Step to it with an elbow up there. Hey, and I taught him a back lift, elbow up, step to the ball. That's that. And so by accident, I threw the cricket ball short. And it bounced. And it hit him here, in his face. He stood there with his lip doing this, wanting to cry, going, Jed, I'm sorry, bro. I'll pitch the next one up. Take your stance. Took a stance. I had him pass a rugby ball left and right. At the age of 6, he could hit a fly off that thing. If there was a black fly, he could take it left and he could hit it with a rugby ball. And then we got saved. Then we got saved. God took all that away. Because now it wasn't about that anymore. Our daughter, on the other hand, she's kept us on our knees. Don't exasperate your children. It's unwise to do. I just want to say this, absolutely, moms and dads, you need to correct bad behavior and bad attitudes in your kids. Correct it. Say that again. Can I just hear an amen? Correct. That word that Paul uses there, instruction, can be translated as discipline. Discipline. But we need to know how to do it lovingly and firmly. That's the trick. So we all require the wisdom from God, the courage from God, and most importantly, the perseverance from God. There's nothing worse for a child than being inconsistent when it comes. Consistency is the name of the game. Wisdom. Be wise. Courage. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Fatum fos. Take it on. And persevere. Persevere. You see, I want to say this to you. Your child does not have what it needs to become all it can become. Can I say that again to you? Can I repeat that for you? Your child does not have what it needs to become all it can become. That's why they need you. That's why they need you. You need to shape their lives. You need to lead them. You need to train them. And you need to instruct them. That's what the word says. Andy Stanley, he speaks of these four stages of parenting. Can I share them with you quick? Just four stages. He says, year one to five. 5-year-olds, sure, year one to five. These are the discipline years. Oh, some of you going, oh, I'm horrified. I said, no. You know, these are the early days when kids are learning that there are consequences to behaviors. There are consequences. I said, don't touch that hi-fi knobby. We all there? Let's just check if he's going to slap me or not. We've all been there, eh? Consequences to behaviors. I believe we should be disciplining our children for three things in this area. I call them the three D's. Disobedience, dishonesty, and disrespect. The three D's, okay? Disobedience, dishonesty, and disrespect. I'm 27 years old, and he's teaching English in South Korea. He's carving out a wonderful career for himself there. But when he was in grade 2, okay, he had Mrs. Rowe, I'll never forget it, and he got a credit for great work. And so she said, Jaden, go back into the storeroom and grab yourself a sweet. So there was this jar of sweets in the back, and all the kiddies could go back to the storeroom and take a sweetie for as a reward. So you know what my son does? He goes to the back of the storeroom and he comes out with his pocket bulging of sweets like this. Hey? All for his buddies. So his teacher gives him a yellow card. Oh my goodness. So from having a credit, he goes to a yellow card. Dishonesty. So I want to encourage you moms and dads, if you're in that phase, 1 to 5, don't turn a blind eye to these things. Deal with it, eh? Head on, boom. But, if your kids are if they are obedient and honest and respect, you must celebrate it like crazy. You must make a big thing of it. I love the way you greeted Uncle Harry at church. Well done, man. You know, celebrate when they are doing these things that we're modeling for them. Years 1 to 5. Second sort of years 5 to 12 were kook. This is when we begin working with our kids and we need to teach them the why behind it all. Why? You need to explain to your child in that phase that I need to connect your behavior to a world out there, my man, and that world is rough. You start connecting their behaviors to the world. You start saying, if you did this in the real world, do you know what your consequences would have been? These are the training years. You have to bring the big bad worse. And it's tough out there. And you know that Wendy and I got saved when our kids were in this phase. My son was 8. My daughter was 6. And they witnessed the miracle. They witnessed the miracle. But the first year, 1 to 5, was lost. It was lost. Then we have the third sort of phase, which is the years. Hold on to you, young moms and dads. 12 to 18. Whoa. A lot of parents are very scared of this season. But I want to say this. When your child hits the teenage years, we should be connecting with them more than correcting. Okay? Connecting more than correcting. But I want to say this. You're in the coaching years. Don't be afraid to pull Johnny off that field. To say, sit down. Let's talk about this. What have you been doing wrong? And then send them back out to go and play. Coaching years. This is the season where you have to, as a parent, as difficult as it is, you're going to have to allow space for natural consequences to take its course. Amen? You're going to have to. You're going to have to. These years are some of the most challenging years. Trust me, I've been there. So have we. The most challenging years. I always say, small lighties, small big lighties, big problems. And then, of course, you're 18 plus. These are the friendship years. And all these seasons, obviously, church, they bleed into one another. Amen? But the friendship years, that's the goal. When they're 18 plus, we need to be friends. That's the goal. So when you finished with 18 years of heavy duty parenting, lifting and coaching and disciplining and admonishing, the hope is that you'll be able to be friends with your kids after all of that. Listen to this. And that they are able to enjoy you. And that they want to come home, even if they don't have to. Can I say that again? They must be able to you. And they must want to come home, even if they don't have to. I reckon that's a brilliant goal. Achieve. Is that okay, guys? Are we all still good? Okay. But one of the sad things that happening today in our society and culture, and listen to this, please, if you have heard nothing else, listen to this. We're trying to be best friends with our kids when they're 5, 10, or 15. Your kid does not need a parent. Your kid needs a parent. Can I say that again? Your kids do not need a parent. They need a parent. They've got many friends. They've got many peers, man. They've got many. But they don't have many parents. The people charged by God to correct them, to train them, to coach them. Those people are not there. But I want to say this. On the same level, friendship with your children is the long-term goal. Okay, guys? That's the long-term goal. It doesn't happen here. We're raising, we're bringing up here. There, long term, is the friendship goal with our kids. Okay? The intentional shaping of their lives is what you should be mainly busy with now. I want to say that again. Intentional. Intentional shaping is what you should be busy with now. I'm telling you, church, listen, 18 years flies by so quickly. In the blink of an eye, 18 years is gone. So I want to encourage you today, stay engaged in the parenting task. And I want to add this. There's nothing like the home to shape a life for good or bad. There is nothing like your home to shape your kids for good or bad. Okay? So here's what I want to ask you. I went onto a pediatrician's website this week, just what these guys have to say about children. And you know what I've found? Most of these pediatricians have issues with what these pediatricians are saying are raising our kids. Screen time. Television screens. They're raising our youth. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Television. Do you know what your kids are watching? Do you know how long they're watching? Come tell them the story of the good doctor quickly. But bring that mic and come tell them. I don't watch television. I watch sport. But I don't watch series and what, because it's all.
I don't know if any of you watch The Good Doctor. It's one of my favorite programs, series, because it's been so clean. Up until, there's no swearing. There's no premarital. There's just this autistic young man that's become a doctor, and the friends that he makes along that work alongside him. And I think it was the last episode I watched, and I just decided that's it. The one doctor, her mom passed on. She was an alcoholic. And her mom's request was that her ashes should be spread in among seals for some reason. And her friend said, well, you've got to honor what your mom has asked. And she said, well, go to the aquarium where there are seals and we'll do it there. And part of the story was that there was a party going on at the aquarium and that you could book yourself to go to the aquarium, and obviously then they could go aside and spread the ashes. But it was a trance vesta. It was a trance party. And so she went off and they all had to dress up, and amongst all these men dressed up like women, she started singing Amazing Grace while she was putting the ash with the seals. And it's so cunning. It's so cunning. And I don't know if you've watched many of these series. They are pro-homosexuality, pro-transgender, pro-everything, living together, etc. Even in the animation programs that our children are watching, they're putting it in everywhere. And this is what's infiltrating our young people's minds. And they are thinking it's okay. So I even know of a little grade 1 boy that asked, teacher, is it okay for me to want to marry Johnny? And he was a little boy. He's in grade one. And this is what's happening in... And Harry says television. And I just want to tell you that teenagers don't watch televisions anymore. They live their lives through these. They're with them all the time, and they go into their rooms and they close the doors. And moms and dads are too scared to go in and say, in my home, doors are open. And they are on this, and I'm telling you, church, what I'm dealing with in my office these days with discipline is not the discipline of taking sweets and putting it in a pocket. It's what's happening in the sexual realm on these.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks, Mom.
Be aware. Yeah. Just one last thing. I said to the college one day, I think Sam was there, and I said, college, would you leave your phones and allow your parents to go onto your phone and let them watch what you're watching? You should have seen the response. Because they know. And that's what's raising our children.
Take it down with you. Television. We're going to talk about cell phones a little bit now. Television. Have you got a TV in your child's bedroom? Can I ask you to remove it? Immediately. Have you got DSTV? The full bouquet, and your child has a television in his bedroom, you are courting disaster. 100%. Cell phones, and this goes for husbands and wives. If your husband breaks out in a sweat on his top lip when the wife reaches for his cell phone, you can know that there's something wrong. No lie. When I get home, I open up my phone. They all know my code. It lies there. They can have free access to it. They can whatever. But if you start taking that thing to the toilet, serious, you have no idea what we've dealt with in the area of these cell phones. No idea. These things are, okay, cell phones, music. You know what your kids are listening to? Are you aware of what Johnny has on his cell phone with his earphones in there? Have you listened to the lyrics of the music your kids are listening to? I promise you, you will be horrified. You are going to have a heart attack. The internet. Are you aware of what your child is accessing on the internet? That pediatric website I went on warns against pedophilia. That's where they hang. That's where the pedophiles hang. The internet. Are you aware? Have you got the blocks and the systems? My phones, my phone, my laptop, it's all got protection on it. Okay. Video games, Xboxes or PlayStation. Well, I don't know so much about a PlayStation, but I've watched a video game. You know, I had to leave the room. I felt sick because it reminded me of what I did in the army. I felt nauseous. It was so real. It was unbelievable. The graphics on those video games today as well be real. And then you wonder why the head calls you in to say that Johnny gave Peter a blood nose at school. That's where he's learning it. Or you wonder why a guy walks into the high school at Columbine and mows down 70 students. Violence. And these little O's shouldn't be exposed to it. But you know what it is? You know what it is? And I'm an educator by heart. I love kids. You know what it is? And I'm going to be very honest with you. Don't come fight me afterwards. I've got some big O's here who are behind me. You know what it is? It's voetsack geld. Voetsack geld. Can I be honest with you? Is for you a lekker video game, voetsack. I don't have time for you today. Here's a video game for you, Futsack. Or here's $200. Why don't you go and hang out in the mall? Futsack. And we wonder why our society is like it is. Amen. These things are shaping the lives of our young kids, folks. They see this drag party that Wendy speaks of and they think it's normal. Because it's not the only one. They see it all the time. That's what I'm saying to you. Monitor what they watch. There are folks in our church who refuse to give their kids cell phones till they're in grade 10. Those kids are being mocked at school. They're being teased. The home is where you mold, you coach, you train, you toughen them up. Let me say it again. There's nothing like the home to shape a life for good or bad. Okay? Paul says, parents up in the training and instruction of the Lord. By the way, just everybody's eyes on me now. That's your job. Can I say that again? Can I say that again? Parents, you, as a mom and a dad, need to bring your children up in the training and instruction in the Lord. By the way, that's your job mainly. The church can help, but it's your job. Let me use Jesus as it here. Let me use Jesus' model of making disciples. He spent 3 years, folks, in close proximity with a few heavy dudes, eh? You guys know that the disciples were heavy dudes? Brawny men of men. Not pale-faced choir boys. They were men. And he invested 3 years in close proximity to these guys with an invested friendship. He was in the thick and in the thuds of life with these guys. And you know what? They came out after 3 years, each one of them handcrafted by Jesus. And those 12 men changed the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. What a better environment than your home to handcraft your kids. Okay, how are we doing? How are we doing? Have I overshot big? How long have I been going? How much? Hour. Okay, done. I'm sorry. An hour. Whoa. Okay, can I teach you one more? Okay. Psalm 127 says like, it says it's like, sons and daughters, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. What a picture. Kids are arrows. Parents are the archers. Wow. To shape our parents, our children, we shape their characters, their beliefs, their skills, and we put them on a trajectory that could last a lifetime. Kingdom of God. Gordon Mack says this, the further away I get from my childhood, listen to this, the further away I get from my childhood, the more I realized how I had been shaped by it. Teach a child in the way he should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. We set our kids up to fly by example. Moms and dads, just stand up for me quick. Stand. If you're a parent, stand. Hey? All parents to be. Parents to be. We set our kids up to fly, listen to me, by our example. A wife invited some people to dinner, and I end with this. At the table, her six-year-old daughter, and said, "Honey, would you like to say the prayer tonight?" The little girl replied, I don't know what to say, Mom." The mom said, "Just say what you hear Mommy say." The wife answered. The daughter bowed her head and said, "Lord, why on earth did we invite all these people to dinner?" That's the power of example. That's the power of example. I'm going to just read you one more, okay, then we're done. At a wedding, a guy honored his parents by reading a poem he had written to them. It was called, "Because You Are, I Am." He said, "Because you care about people, I care about people. Because you're not a racist, I'm not a racist. Because you're diligent and do your very best at your hand too, I am diligent," etc., etc. And you know what? There wasn't a dry eye in the house. We set examples for our kids. Don't worry that they're not listening to you. Worry that they're watching you. Can I say that again? Don't worry that they don't listen to you. You should be worrying that they're watching you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Come, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of children. I want to thank you for the gift of life. And I want to thank you for the awesome responsibility that you've placed on our shoulders to be parents. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us right now, that you would encourage us, that you would inform us, that you would give us the wisdom we need to be godly parents, to raise our children godly ways. I want to thank you, God, for my kids, for my blessing. And I want to thank you for each and every child that you've given the folk in this church. And I just want you to quickly look at me. Every one of you, look at me. We have all made mistakes. We have all made mistakes. But let me tell you this, from the bottom of my soul, too late to fix what is broken. Amen. It is never too late. So God, as we dedicate our children to you, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your word. That'll guide us. That'll encourage us. That'll teach us how to raise godly children. Not happy children, but holy children. And so we thank you for that. I pray for every single one standing here today, Lord, that something would change in the area of parenting. In the area of parenting. I pray, God, for a restoration where relationships between children and parents have become messed up and broken and dark. I pray, God, would you revive and restore those relationships. I pray for these moms and dads here to put that thing called in their pockets. To make that phone call today to that child who is estranged. Phone him. I pray you'd give us the courage, God, to take that first step to restoration. And if there are children here, adult children, whose parents feel that they've abandoned them, God, I ask that you would fix it in Jesus' name. I ask that you would restore those things in Jesus' name. Because Paul says it's right. It's God's design. There's a promise in those famous Ten Commandments, God, that we thank you for. That if we honor our parents, that it would go well with us in the land. Live long lives. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Brian? This is Brian Douthwaite, for those of you who don't know.
We've been encouraged on how to bring up our children. But I believe there is a spiritual application to this. It's very important. We became as babes in Christ. We needed to go through those same things that we've heard there, learning how to respond and go through the growth process to the point where we become parents in spiritual childbearing. In the same, folks, what we've heard is so important in the physical, but I believe even more important in the spiritual.
100%. 100%. 100%. I cannot. I concur with those words.